this is the Angry GM, and what you're listening to right now is the supplemental Q&A for the proofread aloud. I just finished proofreading aloud regarding my Angry New Year update, and I'm already stammering and stuttering through this Q&A. Because as soon as I allow Discord to share the screen with anything else I'm doing, I get instantly distracted by whatever pops up over there. So every time someone posts a message, I'm like, blah, 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 and then I stammer and stutter to a stop. I'm really not good at not looking at what I'm not supposed to look at while I'm doing other things. See also the reason why I have to shut down Discord when I'm trying to do something as simple as write an article. Anywho, with that, I'm going to be taking questions and comments from those who just listened to the proofread aloud live as I recorded it, and answering them here until I run out of questions or comments, or until my producer, Procellus, the Dapper Metroid GM. Oh, I didn't realize he had a GM. Have you always had GM at the end of your name? Anyway, Procellus, the Dapper Metroid, tells me that I am out of time, or just mutes me, and then forgets to unmute me for the next episode. So I spend 3 minutes talking into a microphone where nobody can hear me. Okay, Procellus says that the GM part of his name has been there a very long time. So I guess that's the equivalent of, did you change your hair? Yes, I dyed it 6 years ago. Anyway, the luckier GM is asking any update on theme packs. And the update on the theme packs is, I did basically sort of address this. I am going to do one theme pack a month, starting this month, 12 this year. As to how I'm going to have to handle them, I do have to keep a close eye on the whole open gaming license situation. But I don't think that should affect them too much, considering they're behind the paywall. And it may, the only thing it might affect, I don't mean behind the paywall, but only supporters of a certain level get them. And it may just affect my ability to save them. Noited, will Table Tales be left behind in 2022, or do you still plan to make them for those free space articles? Yeah, that's a good question. Like, the free space articles are literally there because in my heart, I'm still a blogger. And every so often, I do like to break out and just tell a story from my table or talk about something I've been thinking of or some shit like that. Like, I do need to have some place to just vomit forth my thoughts about games, game design, things I'm working on or things that have happened at my table or whatever. And that's why I'm not committing to anything being in those free space articles. That said, Table Tales will probably make an appearance in those free space articles from time to time, considering 90% of what gets me thinking of shit is the stupid things my players do at my table, or the stupid things I do trying to manage my table. The thing is, with Table Tales, if I tried to make it a regular thing, and I did briefly try to make it a regular thing, it puts pressure on me to turn uninteresting gaming moments into interesting stories. And also, if I go for a little while without running a game because schedules don't work out or whatever, it then just kills that series also. So, you know, no promises, but yes, you will hear stories about what happens at my table. As a side note, and I hesitate to say this only because there are certain people who know that I'm also struggling to set up better boundaries between social media and my workday. But by the same token, I do want to be more active in general on social media platforms. I include in this Discord, okay? So that's sort of the perfect place to share table experiences. And I mean, there are good marketing reasons to want to be more engaged with social media. I hate to say that, but if I am going to launch projects this year and try to get people to, you know, support them on Kickstarter or some other platform, then I really do need to get back on the game as far as exposing myself to the community at large. And right now the online gaming community is in sort of a turmoil, and everybody is casting around for new things to hold on to. So it is the perfect time for me to reappear. There's other reasons too, but I won't go into that, especially because I know I'll offend a few people. Let's see. Gandave is saying, I like your plan regarding the content schedule, Angry, but he didn't put the comment in the question, or she, they, Gandave, the user, did not put the comment in the question and comment thread, but did use the red, he, okay, did use the red exclamation-y point. So clearly it was something that he both wanted me to see and wanted to hide from me. So whichever plan you had, it both succeeded and failed. But then Gandave asks, are you going to reference your previous articles in any way in the new series, or are they gone? I am not going to wipe out any of my previous content. It will remain there. It will remain archived. And eventually I will, I do want to, by the start of February, I want to have a landing page or like an about the site page that people can hit so that they know that there's old content there that they can breeze through. But I want this, the new stuff to be front and center for this year. I am going to try and keep this stuff isolated from previous stuff to make it a good way, a good place for people to start reading my stuff. At the same time, I'm not going to do any rerun content. That is, I'm not just going to take an article I ran once upon a time and write it again and pass it off as new. If I don't have anything new to say, I'm not going to address a topic. Okay. There will be some repeated stuff, obviously. There are some old ideas that do need to be updated and revised and re-explained and made clear. But there's always going to be something new for experienced, for longtime readers. Some articles maybe, there's a little bit remedial for me, but then that's always been the case. So I'm not worried about that. Wiley, how quickly do plots unfold at your table? I'll come back to that if I have time and don't need to answer more questions about my my schedule or whatever. Okay? Borrow Freak, attaching PDFs to articles about hacks sounds awesome. How do those docs look in your head right now? Okay, so basically what I picture is you go onto the article and there is actually like the standard design bloggy discussion that I would normally give about, hey, I had this neat idea because there's a problem with D&D games because, supplies are stupid and nobody has to spend money on supplies. And really, people should need extendable supplies. So I wrote rules about supplies. And then I'll explain, this is what I was thinking when I wrote the rules. And this is how I came up with the idea. And this is why I made the choices I did. And, all that standard design bloggy shit I always write. And then somewhere in there, probably right at the top, will be something like, if you want the supplies rules and don't care why and how I built them, then just click this link and then there will be a PDF. And then you click that link and what will happen is another window will open, which will have a PDF document in it, which you can then save, download, or print. And that PDF document will have a title on it, something like Angry's Awesome Supply Rules. And then there will be, if you bought something from an actual content creator on DriveThruRPG, where there was, these are rules you can use in your D&D or other role-playing game for supplies. This is the intended purpose. Now, here's, players can buy supplies. Here's the price cost. And then all the rules are explained like a rules document. So the PDF, and I realize I'm being half facetious, but I'm also being half serious here. What I really want is the PDF would be something you would get if you bought a supplement from a creator on DriveThruRPGs. So I want it to be like you could just print it out and stick that in your little folder that you keep with your other gaming books and have that available. So Caladrev. And then, of course, like they'll be format. Like I want them to look nice, too. OK, I'm not the greatest graphic designer in the world. And right now, like this for this content stuff, I'm not sure that this is where I want to tap a graphic designer to work on. So they're going to be fairly plain standard PDFs. I mean, they'll look as good as the theme packs. Some people think those look awesome. Professional graphic designers say, well, there's a guy who never did any graphic design who is at least trying, God bless him. So, you know, but if you think the theme packs look okay, then the PDF rules documents will probably be PDF. How much will your hacks tie, Calidrive, how much will your hacks tie into the teachings coming in the 24? Completely separate. I'm not going to try them together. I did think for a little while, wouldn't it be neat if I could do like a theme every month? Like the theme of January is narration. So here's two articles about narration. And then here's a rules hack about narrating things somehow in some way I can't imagine. And immediately, as soon as I said that, that was where I saw the whole problem, because like some topics just don't lend them. Like, what the hell would a rules hack for narration be? Like, Angry's Thesaurus, a random table for describing things, you know? So no, it's not going to be. The rules, like, the other thing that I thought about, and I'm not going to commit to this right now, but I think it's still going to be the way things play out in the middle of the year, is once I get the rules hacks coming out rather smoothly and have figured out how to balance my time properly to do it all, ultimately, the reason I abandoned Town Mode is because I realized it would need several rules hacks to make Town Mode relevant, because the reason why people don't play in towns in D&D 5e and many other editions and many other role-playing games is because there's nothing in the game to make it relevant. And if I'm not willing to write those systems, then I can write all the advice I want about how to structure your game so that people can do fun things in town, but without things like supplies and item maintenance and crafting and investigation and research and training rules, then like Town Mode is useless. So ideally what I would like to do is by the end of the year have put out, you know, 4 or 5 different little subsystems. And then at the end of the year, I could say, oh, by the way, surprise, I actually gave you Town Mode. Take these 5 pieces together, apply them this way, and bam, now you have an entire town subsystem. You know, but that's a surprise, so don't tell anyone. That's also not a promise, but that's what I'm thinking. That said, the early rules hacks, like I really am just starting a little bit on the smaller side to make sure that I have not the wherewithal, but it's a time management game. I'm playing a giant time management game right now, and I'm sort of like, I'm also taking a ballsy step because I'm betting on my ability to manage the time by committing to the plan. And I think I have it, right? Like, if I didn't already have a plan and an outline and a roadmap and everything, then I wouldn't be saying this at all. But anything could fall apart. So I'm not going to bet that I can do, I'm not going to probably, by the end of the year, you will have 6 articles that will secretly fit together and become like Town Mode Voltron. But that's what I would like to do. Okay. Dan Floor, would these PDF rule hacks be sold that are available only to supporters? Are you releasing them for free to the public? They're being released to the public as part of the article. That is, one article a month will contain a rules hack, just the same way that the previous stuff, like the FCR system and tension dice and all that stuff, has just been given out, except that it will actually be given out in like a finished format. But that's it. It's just, that's part of my monthly content now, is once a month I give you a new rule system. Gandave, in case you don't want to talk about 1D&D now, feel free to skip. Having seen the birth of 4E and the reactions of the internet, how does it compare with what is currently happening with 1D&D 6E on the horizon, both on WotC's and on the community side? Well, I'm going to refer to the refer back to the article that I just proofread aloud, where I said, as far as I am concerned, D-Box 1 doesn't exist, it will not exist until Wizard actually shits out a rulebook, and even then it may not exist. Which means, I have nothing to say about it. The official stance of Angry Games Incorporated on 1D&D right now is, I do not give a fuck. So, yeah, that's it. Suyin the Surger, Happy New Year! The plan sounds good so far. regarding making the articles more concise. I like the time you take to explain the why and how of you do things. Is that what you meant by hypothetical arguments about the why the advice is valuable? No. What I meant when I said that is the amount of time I spend in an article taking care of counter-arguments. Okay, trying to invalidate counter-arguments. And that's just one example of the bloat. In general, I talk around things a lot more than I used to. Okay, I'm less direct and I feel like I have to do more convincing. There is a difference between explaining something and showing people how to think and convincing them. I am going to start on the assumption when I write articles from this point forward that if you are sitting here reading my stuff, you're already convinced I have something valuable to teach. If you don't then want to take that lesson and try it out at the table, that's your own stupid problem. And I'm not going to try and convince you any further. Okay? There's a difference between explanation and argument, and people often get them confused. Okay? So, because Winter Woosh just made a comment, and of course my Discord scrolled, so I immediately got distracted and my brain farted, but yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stabbing Strawman unnecessarily, which is fun in moderation. And that is a point to be made too, is that while I don't want to get engaged in these long discussions, at the same time, being the angry GM means that a certain amount of sarcastic quips and throwing shade and poking fun at things is necessary and par for the course, and also it's fun to write. So I am not going to completely give up just taking digs at things going on. If nothing else, like, that stuff serves an important role because reading a long article is tiring, especially reading a long article that is just dense explanation of things is tiring. So, if you actually sat down and looked at my articles really closely, you would notice, that to some extent, I'm not going to say it's like clockwork because nothing is ever like clockwork, but you can keep track of how long I've been talking by when I start injecting curses again, or when I make a sarcastic remark or stupid mixed metaphor or make fun of something. Okay, there's a part of the writing style that comes down to, okay, you've been listening to me be serious for a while, and I sense you're probably going to start drifting, so I'm going to say something stupid or nonsensical or shocking or just something to get your dander up or whatever, because I see your gaze is probably drifting toward the window right now. Okay, that is part of what makes my articles readable and why I can get away with writing long articles. I'm not going to give all of that up. That said, I won't have to do as much of it if I can just maybe not try to fit so much into an article, you know? Anyway, so I hope that answers the question. Wiley did ask how questions quickly plots do on. Yeah, I'm really going to have to improve my reading aloud ability if I'm going to keep recording proofread alouds into the new year, huh? Okay. How quickly do plots unfold at your table? I don't really know how to answer that because I don't know how to measure the speed at which plots unfold. And also because there's no one answer anyway. It really depends on the complexity of the plot. Okay. Ultimately, though, there are some, like, let's not mix up plot and pacing. Okay? Because it's not really about plot. Okay? Pacing is about how the experience of the work feels. Right? In terms of tension, in terms of speed, in terms of how long you spend doing one thing. And so, one of the rules I have said is that every 2 to 3 sessions, the players must win or lose at a goal. Okay, at a significant goal, not just a overcome an encounter thing, but a, you know, rescue the princess or find the treasure or seal the evil back in the nether realms, right? Every 2 to 3 sessions, the players need some kind of victory like that. Every session needs some kind of climax, okay, some kind of event. And if you don't do it, by the way, there will be a climax anyway. It'll just pick itself. And if the wrong event picks itself, then your session won't feel as good. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, it's not really about how quickly plots unfold. You can take a long plot and take a lot of time at it as long as every 2 to 3 sessions there's some kind of victory. Every 4th or 5th session is a rest, and then, you know, there's a new incitement after that, and so that you're following these cycles. And actually, I will be addressing this in more detail because this is a part of Mastering the Game Section 202, Managing Ongoing Games, okay? Which is all about how to string your game sessions together into something that is greater than just a game session after a game session after a game session. So this is where tricks and tools like pacing and plotting come into effect. Okay, in the meanwhile, what I will suggest you do if you want to master pacing, and this is not something anyone wants to hear, watch as many good movies as you can in the next month. Good movies. Like I suggest, look at the release date. If it's before 2010, let's say, I'll be generous. If the release date is before 2010, it's not a good movie. But go hunt down some good movies and just watch them. Don't think about them. Don't analyze them. Don't watch them critically. Don't write papers about them or theses or anything else. Just sit and watch the movies because your brain is aware of pacing on a subconscious level. Okay? And what you want to do is immerse yourself in what good pacing looks like so that your unconscious brain will start nudging you while you're running games and say, your things are going a little slow here. If you were watching this as a movie, you'd be bored to tears by now, okay? Don't do what Winter Woosh just said and better yet watch bad movies to see what not to do. That is a terrible way to learn anything except how to do things badly. If you want to learn how to be good at a skill, immerse yourself in examples of the skill done right and then trust your brain to figure it out. Okay, I've got a 5-minute warning and I've got a question from Borrow Freak. Who looks like they're describing their campaign to me. I recently found out that I drag out games in my campaign a lot due to unconsciously stalling the development and have realized it's because I'm just not super well prepared. So there's a little preface and then a question. What are reasons, apart from online factors, that you found out slow down your games, which are coming from you personally? It's 90% online factors, to be totally honest. No. Okay. Here is the biggest thing that slows down my games. Okay. I am a sucker for a good idea. So if I'm sitting there running a game, and I like to run a lot extemporaneously, even though I do a lot of prep and I have to prep to feel comfortable running my game, I do a lot of turning what I have prepped into the game extemporaneously. And what will happen at the game table is suddenly a brilliant idea will occur to me. And so I will run with that. And that brilliant idea then leads to another brilliant idea, and then another brilliant idea, and then another brilliant idea, and another brilliant idea. Okay, this is just because all my ideas are brilliant. It's like my particular pathology that I cannot come up with bad ideas. But so what happens is I do not stop myself from adding more crap to the game. And while everyone will say, well, that's good, you're never saying no, you're always letting something happen. The truth, and you know, one of the things that improv teaches you, like if you take an improv class or you do improv acting or anything like that, one of the things you learn is that there's actually a cycle to a scene. Okay, there is a time when you stop adding ideas and start wrapping up the scene. Okay, you know, everybody, oh, improv, you always have to say yes, never deny anything, to a point. But there is a point in a scene where the answer becomes no new ideas can come into this scene. There's enough in the scene now that resolving that will take up all the rest of the narrative energy and bring us to an ending. My problem is I never say no to a brilliant idea, and I have nothing but brilliant ideas. And that's what slows me down. Okay, so that's it. That's the Q&A supplement for this proofread aloud of something that was not even an article and absolutely did not deserve a proofread aloud. Thank you everyone for asking your questions and making your comments. And I really also just appreciate all of the support I've received for everybody who I've been talking to for the past couple of months about how I could change things and find my way back to being angry, as it were. And the excitement that people are clearly already feeling for this is really invigorating. It tells me that at the very least, I have a really good plan. And if it's going to screw up anywhere, it's going to screw up on the execution. But then again, that's always the case. So with that, Happy New Year to everybody, and I will see you all next week.